At Christmas time, we celebrate the incarnation, God becoming man, taking upon himself human flesh, becoming the God-man. The question before us this morning is, why the incarnation? Why did God the Father do it? Why send his Son to earth to ultimately be tortured and killed on a cross by his very own creation? The meaning of the incarnation became very real to me through Tommy Woodard of Skit Guys Studios in the video The Skinny on Christmas. In it, he tells the story of his infant son being cast as Jesus in a Christmas play. He describes his feelings as he saw his son on that stage and felt the enormity of what God did in sending his only son to this earth, to the manger, to the cross. He wept. Being a father myself, I couldn't help but identify with Woodard's response. The question, however, before us this morning is, why the incarnation? And I'd like to propose six reasons for the incarnation. The first is this: God intervened in human history and life to bring hope and freedom. The first reason is God intervened in human life and history to bring hope and freedom. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." See, at just the right time in human history, God sent forth his Son. The people had been prepared prophetically. The world had been prepared. A woman had been prepared. The people were prepared prophetically. We read in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, which was written 700 years before the time of Christ, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." The virgin birth was prophesied 700 years before the time of Christ. Micah wrote in chapter 5 and verse 2, again 700 years before the time of Christ, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Micah predicts the birthplace of Messiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, again 700 years before the time of Christ, says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Dr. Charles Ryrie notes that Messiah will come as a baby who is born and as a gift from God to be a ruler. People are prepared prophetically. The prophecy of the virgin birth, the prophecy of where Messiah would be born, the prophecy of the uniqueness of this child who would be God incarnate. God intervened in human life and history to bring hope and freedom. The second reason for the incarnation is this: because God loved us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 tells us this: "God showed us how much he loved us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him." God's love prompted the incarnation. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his own love toward us in this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there's always the very familiar John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us and wanted us to have eternal life. Eternal life isn't just longevity of time. Eternal life is a quality of life that begins the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ. It's a quality of life. And it goes on through eternity. The second reason is because of the incarnation, is because he loved us. The third reason for the incarnation is so that God's justice would be satisfied. God's justice prompted the incarnation. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 tells us, this is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Literally sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means satisfaction. Jesus satisfied God's justice. God didn't just wink at sin, but rather judged sin on the cross in his Son, his innocent, sinless Son. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but he sent his Son to be the satisfaction for his justice. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul writes, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. To illustrate the satisfaction of God's justice, I'd like to share a story about Fiorello LaGuardia. He was elected mayor of New York City on November 7th, 1933, and he served from 1934 to 1945. The story of his kindness is recounted in many places. I'd like to share with you today the account from God's little devotional book for dads. Quoting here, one of New York City's most popular mayors was Fiorello LaGuardia. Nearly every older New Yorker has a favorite memory of him. Some recall the day he read the funny papers over the radio with all the appropriate inflections after a strike kept the Sunday newspapers off the stands. Others remember his outburst against the bums who exploited the poor. One time the mayor chose to preside in a night court. An old woman was brought before him on the bitterly cold night. The charge was stealing a loaf of bread. She explained as her reason for the theft that her family was starving. LaGuardia replied, I've got to punish you. The law makes no exception. I must fine you $10. At that, he reached into his own pocket and pulled out a $10 bill. Well, he said, here's the $10 to pay your fine, which I now remit. You see, justice had to be satisfied. And the third reason for the incarnation is that God's justice prompted the incarnation. The fourth reason for the incarnation is we were in need of a Savior. See, the scripture describes us as sinners. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We were in need of a Savior, and so God sent his Son to be our Savior, the perfect Son of God, the God-man who would go to Calvary's cross and bear in his body our sin. The fifth reason for the incarnation is that Jesus became man so that he could die in our place. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And then in Hebrews 2:17, the writer says, therefore, it was necessary for Jesus to be in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. He then could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. The incarnation was necessary so that Jesus could die in our place. And finally, the incarnation was necessary because animal sacrifices could not remove sin. Again, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10 and verses 3 and 4, those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Why the incarnation? One, so that we might have hope and freedom. Two, because he loved us. Three, so that God's justice would be satisfied. Four, because we were in need of a Savior. Five, so that Jesus could die in our place. And finally, why the incarnation? Six, because animal sacrifices were insufficient to remove sin. Vance Havner wrote these words, in all the confusion and commercialization of Christmas these days, we are more than likely to lose Christ. Let us never forget that God sent not merely a prophet, a philosopher, a leader to meet the world's need. He gave his only begotten Son. And finally, E. Stanley Jones, in his sermon, The Divine Yes, said this, a little boy was in the States while his father and mother were across the seas as missionaries. Christmas Day came, and the principal of the school said to himself, that boy will be homesick for his parents. So he went to see the little boy and said to him, what would you like most of all on this Christmas morning? The little boy thought a moment and, pointing to a picture of his father on his dresser, said, I would like most of all that my father would step out of that frame and come and be with me. That is the homesick cry of humanity. I wish my heavenly Father would step out of the frame of the universe and come down and be with me. That has happened. God has stepped out of the frame of the universe, and we have seen him in the face of Jesus Christ.